Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. The point of asking is that you may get to know God better. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Keep praying in order to get a perfect understanding of God Himself. So the point Oswald Chambers was making is the point that I hope we can kind of bring to bear here a bit, is that our desires fall into line when our eyes are focused on the Lord. We talked a little bit about the Olympics. One thing that I read about was that they had at the original Colosseums, there was actually a physical granite pillar that signified that's the finish. So all the races that they had conducted were designed to end with that pillar in as the finish line, so that the runners, no matter if it was a short distance or a long distance, could look up and they could always see the finish, no matter how far away they were from the goal. So they were able to see the finish line. And that goal is so important to keep in mind. What is the goal? What is our purpose for being here? Why did we even come here this morning? It was to honor the Lord, to continue our own race so that we could continue and run well as He has called us to run. So the Lord has placed some things within us. He's given us some gifts and He's given us some other things. And I believe He also has given us His own desires for us. The deepest, innermost desires that are within your heart that will bring you peace and bring you satisfaction are the things that only He knows, and He will bring into your mind and into your heart as you seek Him. And in place of that, the enemy is quite ready to bring little counterfeits and little side trails, rabbit trails, if you will, into our race so that we can get sidetracked and get off the mark, and so that we can lose sight of the goal of God's perfect goal for us. Psalm 37:4 says this: take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desire. God's desires and our desires will line up when we delight in Him, when we make Him the object of our affection, the complete goal. I was thinking about that as I was driving here this morning. It was just, Lord, why am I here? What am I doing? And it was almost like He reminded me, Mike, you're here to serve me. It's to make me first place in your life. And then when I did that, I truly laid it down to Him and gave Him my heart, I believe. Just, I don't know, it was such an expression of worship that came out of me even as I was driving that it's hard to express. The Olympic runners last night, both the people that I was referring to, the man and the woman 100-meter racer, both expressed that they had risen to the top of their game. It was almost like they knew they were going to win. It came off almost as arrogance. Did anybody catch any of that? It came off as, well, I know I'm going to win. It was almost, you know, there was an arrogance, but they had not yet done it. And so how many times have you seen, in one of the preliminaries of the men's race, there was I can't remember the name. I think it was Donovan Bailey. He was the Canadian runner who won the last gold. And he just, whatever, he wasn't quite there. He came up short in the preliminaries. I think he had the flu and he'd had a fever all week. In any case, he wasn't quite himself and he wasn't able to run his full race, even though there was every expectation he had an even chance at winning. He wasn't quite physically all the way there. You've seen, the other guy, the 400 meter, he's running in the 400 meters. I think his name's Michael Johnson. His best race is actually the 200. And he won the 200 and the 400 at the last Olympics. He didn't qualify for the 200 because as he was coming around the last stretch in the Olympic qualifying races beforehand, his hamstring, I think it was, or something went out on him. And he was coming around that last thing, and he pulls up on his leg, and he wasn't able to finish the race. His body wasn't quite, what wasn't there for him to help him finish the race. Psalm 38:9 says this: you know what I long for, Lord, and you hear my every sigh. The Lord knows the thing that's in your heart that's going to make your life full and complete. He knows the goal, the prize that's going to make you happy. How many of us have spent so many days, months, weeks, years, decades pursuing things in our life that we thought would make us happy, and once we got them, we realized that there was something else? It could be that career. You spend many years preparing for a career, and you get to that career, and you find you still have wants and needs and desires. It could be a home. You think, boy, once I finally own my own home, I'm going to be there. I'll be happy. You get your own home and you find out that there's just a whole other set of wants and desires that come along with that. I want a bigger home, or I want a prettier home. I want a neater stuff to put in my home. There's always other goals and prizes when we make that goal our goal instead of making Jesus our goal. So in essence, what evil and inappropriate desires are wants and needs and wishes that are contrary to what God's wants and needs and wishes are for us. God wants things for you, and he wants things for me. And when I decide to go my own way and seek my own race, so to speak, then I'm not going to be fulfilled. The thing that my heart was created to do is going to go unchecked, and I'm going to be an unhappy person. Let's look together at Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to start in about verse 13. Galatians 5:13. And we'll go down through the end of the chapter. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But you, if you are led by the Spirit, are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh, and with it its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. So then we have a war going on inside of us, really. There's a war for the holy and the spiritual and the godly things, and then the lower things, the fleshly things, the things of earth, if you will. And that battle goes on constantly, and I don't, from what I know from my 20 plus years of walking with the Lord, that battle never quits. That battle is never over. You never, I'm finally over it. The world has no pull on me whatsoever. There's always something. And so we're constantly fighting this battle. We're constantly seeking those things that will help us overcome that battle. And that stuff comes from within inside us. Verse 17, just to remember, says, the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit desires what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want to do. So we don't always do what we want to do, do we? How many times have you, why did I do that? What made me do that? Whatever it is, whatever that battle is that you lost recently. Why do I keep falling into this same pit? Well, obviously the answer is we need God's help to settle the conflict. Let's look down over to, back to Romans, chapter 8. Romans 8. And in verse 9, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them are not Christians at all. If I don't have the Spirit of Christ living in me, then I have no right to call myself a Christian. Sounds pretty blunt, but it's pretty simple. If then the Holy Spirit, which creates in me that yearning for God, if that Holy Spirit is not living in me, then I'm dying. Then I am already dead in my sins. So the answer, the beginning of the answer anyway, is to acknowledge that the Spirit of God is there and is living within you. And then we have to, since something, that seed, that Holy Spirit seed is living within us, we have to water that seed. We have to make it grow. The only way that we can be free then from that power, the power of that evil desire in us, is to yield to the Spirit of God. We have to ignore, there's a tendency obviously in the flesh to go our own way. We always want to do it our way. And so frequently God's way doesn't resemble our way. And we usually get to find that out by falling flat on our face. And you know, that's why, you know, when we run our race, it isn't always a smooth, even, straight path. Sometimes it's a hurdles race. Sometimes we have to run, we have to jump a series of hurdles. Sometimes it's more of an obstacle course. I think that's probably even the best analogy to the Christian walk, is really more of running an obstacle course. So many pits, so many rocks that are in the way to trip on, so many things get in our way to trip us up and make us lose heart and make us give up. But we have to deal decisively with these battles when we see them. You know what those battles in your life are, and I know what the battles in my life are. Many times I have to confess, I've learned to accept my flesh as, oh well, that's just me. I guess that's just the way I am. God must have made me this way. I just can't get victory over that thing in my life. Remember back to verse 24 in Galatians. Let me pull that back up. Turn back here real quick. Galatians 5:24. I'm going to flip back here real quick. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So if we're talking about walking a victorious race, there's an action involved. It's laying that down, and not only laying it down, crucifying it. How do you crucify something, or what is a crucifixion? It's a death. You actually have to kill that thing in you. You have to say, be gone. Jesus said it another way. We don't have to turn there. But, let's go ahead and do that. It wouldn't hurt to turn there. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30. Matthew 5. Jesus pulled no punches with this. Matthew 5:27. You have heard it said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it was more profitable for you that one, it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. What's Jesus talking about? Does he physically, gosh, if I keep stealing something, does he really want me to take a saw and chop that hand off? No. But what is it in me that is desiring that thing? That I have to die to. If there is, I can only use like an example from my own life, is at times in my life I get too obsessed with sporting events. I really like baseball. I really like the Giants. And the fact that they're having a really good year is really cool. And it's easy for me to get caught up in that. How's Barry Bonds doing today? How many home runs did he hit this week? I mean, to get all caught up in the details of that. And what happens when I get caught up in the details of that? Sometimes other things in my life slide. Maybe I didn't get together with my wife and pray with her that night. Or maybe I'm taking a situation in my life too lightly, where my children really could use my time, and I'm spending that time watching a ball game instead of spending the time with them. Now, is baseball sinful? No. But it's just like one of those things we read about earlier. It falls under that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. Not all things are life-bringing to me. Not everything is profitable. What does profitable mean? It's not going to do you good in the long run. It's profitable for a runner to run every day, to train for his race. It's not profitable for a runner to shot put, necessarily. Go practice the shot put every day. The shot put's not wrong for a runner, but it's not going to do him any good in his goal of winning a gold medal in the 50 or 100 meter dash to practice shot put. He needs to get into the things that are profitable to him. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to recognize those things in our life that are not profitable, whatever they may be, and get rid of them. Lay them aside. Drop those books off and put them behind us so that we can get on with the things that are right, the things that are needful, the things that are important. James 1:13 through 16 says this: Remember, no one who wants to do wrong should ever say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else either. Temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. These evil desires lead to evil actions, and evil actions lead to death. Do not be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. We blame Satan a little too often for our own lazy flesh. Now, that's not to say there is not an enemy who's out there roaring and seeking those whom he may devour, but our flesh gets involved. We learn to make excuses for ourselves. I can never become a spiritual person because I'm not a morning person. I can't get up and pray in the morning. Morning people are trained. It comes from setting an alarm clock far enough from your bed that you can't turn it off, and physically getting out of bed and going to the side of your bed or wherever your prayer closet is and spending some serious time with God. That's what we're talking about. It's changing things in your life so that the things that you consider to be obstacles in your path can be moved, or so you can gain enough strength to jump over them and hurdle them. God isn't the source of your temptation. And really, when you get down to it, Satan is not the source of your temptation. Satan appeals to our flesh. Satan appeals to our sinful nature. He is not the one who makes us sin. Flip Wilson was wrong. The devil didn't make him do it. We made ourselves do it. And we followed our own sinful lust, and that's what makes us do it. So call it what it is. If the sin is lust, God, I'm having a problem with lust, acknowledge it. God, I'm not the kind of person that can watch television because even the very commercials are full of lustful pictures that I personally am not strong enough to withstand. So click, cut it off, pull the plug, yank it from the wall if you have to. If that's your sin, if that's what it is, call it what it is. If your sin is sports, don't look at it. Turn it off. Don't buy a newspaper. If that's causing you to come up short in obtaining your goal, which is your high calling in Christ, if something of earth is in the way, get rid of it. Let's close by looking at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1, and we'll go down through verse 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Christ Jesus, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. First of all, doesn't it take grace and peace to walk this life, this race even? We got to have his grace. We have to acknowledge our very need of his grace just to get out of bed and put one foot in front of the other in the morning. It takes great grace and knowledge of God. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we need that grace and peace. It's God. It's not me. I am not going to muster up enough willpower to overcome my flesh. I can't do it. But that's where the victory comes. Lord Jesus, I have need of you. And in acknowledging that need, I have to come before him. I have to lay it out before him and call it the way it is and open up myself. Holy Spirit, would you please identify these things? Because I feel like I'm blind. I can't even see these things that are inhibiting me, that are the stumbling blocks, the boulders in my path. I can't even see. I'm tripping and bruising myself every day. God help me. I just was so aware of that, as I said, when I was coming to the church this morning. God, without you, this is impossible. I actually wept, which I don't do real often. I wept over my inability to be the person God wants me to be because of the sin in my life, because of the lack of Holy Spirit power evident in my life to overcome. His divine power has given us all things that pertain. So if Jesus then has given me everything I need, why should I worry? Sometimes I work, oh God, if I go full on for you, then I've got to lay this aside. I might have to put this part of my life aside. I'm not even going to be me anymore, God. It's going to be somebody else because, gosh, if I have to give away the things that I really like, then what's left? Well, you'll find that God isn't going to ask you to give away anything that makes you you. He's created you to be you. He wants you to be you. It may be even the very things that you think are you that are not even you to begin with. Those might even be the things stopping you from being who he wants you to be. I think it's important that we just learn to be so, so very real, to climb into his arms, to climb in, jump into his lap and say, oh, Father, I'm blown it. I'm not making it. I'm not even getting to my race. I've stumbled and fallen, and all the other runners are running way ahead of me. Help me catch up. And he's going to do that. He's going to give you the power. He's going to give you the ability. He's going to give you even the desire to will to do the things that you need to do. But you have to come to him for it first. And then we'll escape. We'll escape that corruption. But you know what? He's got so many promises. That's what we just read about in Peter here. He's called us. He's given us great, exceedingly, and precious promises that through these promises, we may be partakers of his nature. And that's what's going to make you happy, is the stuff that he's already prepared for you to give to you. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we just have so many examples, Lord, in front of us. We have 100-yard dashers. We have marathoners. I think of even my own daughter, Kimberly, who would have to be, you know, a short distance runner. I think of Laura Brock, who's gone on, and she's maybe a more of a medium distance. And some of us are going to be more like a marathon, Lord. You've called us to run a longer race, but it doesn't matter because the goal and the prize is the same. The goal and the prize is Christ himself, to be seated with him, high and lifted up, next to the right hand of the Father. We are going to be there, Father, but we need you. We need your Spirit to come in and give us strength because sometimes it just doesn't seem like we have enough to get there. It seems like the goal is too far away, Lord, or too difficult. We're running out of breath sometimes, Lord, and we need you to even give us breath. Father, come into us. Come into our hearts, Lord. Help us to lay aside those weights, those things that so easily trip us up and hold us back so that we can continue on to the prize that you've called us to come to, Lord. We just ask for this power, this ability, and even the desire to get there in Jesus' name. Amen.